Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the second Sunday after Pentecost comes from our epistle reading of Romans. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's part of the text. While we were still sinners. That really says it all, doesn't it? While we were still sinners. It doesn't leave much room for our works there, or our good intentions. We aren't really at liberty to go about and interject any of those into the situation. Paul doesn't give us the chance. He just cuts to the chase, calls us the sinners that we are, the sinners that we were, the sinners that God knows us to be. And this cuts twofold. There's the gospel part of it, and we'll get there. Goodness, we have to get there, because we would be lost if we don't ever get there. But Paul does want to paint a pretty stark picture here with sharp lines and bold colors, just in case any of us wanted to go the route and play the old, well, I'm not that bad card. No, while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. And it doesn't do any good to say that you weren't alive or didn't even exist back then, so how could you be a sinner when Christ climbed on the cross? At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's Kairos time, not Chronos. That's God's time, the perfect time, the time that knows no time and therefore knows that right then was the very time needed to die for you because you were a sinner. And not just a sinner, but there's another not so flattering moniker that Paul hangs around our necks. Ungodly. First we were sinners, now we're ungodly. Or perhaps first we were ungodly and now we're sinners. I'm not really sure it makes all that much of a difference. Ungodly sinners. That's what we were. And it was at that point that God showed his love for us. Stop trying to make everything not quite so bad. Stop trying to say that there was something redeemable in you. There wasn't. Not me either. Not in any of us. And I think that's where we get into trouble. We want to mingle the law with the gospel, and we want to mingle the gospel with the law. We don't want to hear how absolutely dreadful and perilous our position actually was. And maybe it's so that we can feel better about ourselves. We can save a little bit of face. Because I can understand someone dying for a righteous person. That makes sense, even if it doesn't happen all that much in our fallen world. But yes, a righteous person. I can get on board with that. Or a good person. Especially someone who has been good to me. Yes, certainly someone who's been good to me, at least if it's the right good person, and if the right good person has showed me his righteousness with the right good deeds, well then yes, I could understand me perhaps dying for that person. And I could understand somebody else dying for someone like that too. But a bad person, a horribly evil person, a Hitler-esque person, well, no one. No God would dare die for a worthless scumbag like that. And we don't like to hear and admit that we are poor, miserable sinners that aren't worth the time of day and certainly aren't worth dying for. But that's the confession that we make. At the beginning of every single divine service, every single Sunday, and we don't mince words. It's a true confession stolen from the words of St. Paul himself. When was the last time that you actually stopped for a second, for a moment, to think about the gravity of those words that you say every single Sunday morning? I, a poor, miserable sinner. I justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. There's no wiggle room there. Just the harsh reality of the situation before God and an ungodly sinner. Oh yeah, and an enemy of God too. Let's not forget that. Paul doesn't forget that, does he? For while we were enemies, and this is the real kicker, because it's one thing just to be a random sinner. It's one thing to be a faceless, ungodly person. That type of person is nothing personally to me, and I dare say nothing personally to God. He's just some random, ungodly sinner out there somewhere with no connection or relationship to anyone or anything. But Paul calls us enemies of God. And that enemy thing is a two-way street. We have made God our enemy. We hated him to the core. But because of our sin, we are also God's enemies. And I know that sounds a little bit weird. But tell me, what else could it be? God is holy. We are not. Something unholy cannot be in the presence of God. Something unholy deserves nothing except temporal and eternal punishment. Being unholy puts us on one side of the battlefield, and on the other side is the perfect God, whose law isn't about to let bygones be bygones, isn't about to pretend that sin isn't real, isn't about to pretend that we aren't his enemy. Do you have the fullness of it now? While we were still sinners, while we were still ungodly, while we were still enemies, it isn't like we started to make amends or begin to act in a godly way. And it isn't like we sat down at the Appomattox courthouse and drafted out our treaty of surrender in the hopes of some clemency. The only thing that we deserved to come our way was the complete and utter wrath of God. And it was at this point that Christ died for us. It really is quite astonishing when you take the time to think about and realize the full weight of it all. But it also speaks to the absolute gospelness of it all too. And that's the whole point. This Christ dying for us thing is all and is only gospel. It is an undeserved free gift given from the hand that needs not do anything else except hand out punishment. The gospel isn't the gospel if there is something earned or something deserved on the other side of it. The gospel isn't the gospel if we are but neutral bystanders in all of this. The gospel can only be the gospel if we are ungodly sinners who have made ourselves enemies of God and deserve every ounce of his wrath and punishment. Let's do away with any notion that it's any different. Let's do away with any thought that I am really deep down in my heart of hearts a good person. I just have trouble doing the good things every once in a while. Let's do away with just sugarcoating the situation, because sugarcoating doesn't do anything to save you or me or anyone else. And you want to know how this is true? Do you want to know why it does no good to look to the law for justification, to tweak the law just a little bit to make us look better, to treat the law as a roadmap, as our way back to God? Because we're all going to die. And the wages of sin is death. Forget about justifying yourself through the law. If that were an option, then you wouldn't die. But no matter how hard you try, there will be a day that you will draw your last breath, and you're going to need something better than, "I tried my best to get you out of the grave." So listen here, and listen good, as if your life, your eternal life, depended upon it. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him by the death of his Son. God has already done the hard part, the impossible part, the part that the law says should never happen, because the law doesn't give an option for mercy. The law doesn't allow for the judge to take circumstances into account and render a graceful verdict. The law doesn't put a contingency plan in place for really good people who just got caught up in this whole ungodly, sinful enemy thing. There's a stark difference between the law and the gospel, and they're both good. But the law lays it bare and renders the verdict of guilt and gives the sentence of eternal death. Don't hope for anything else from the law. To do so is just a silly pipe dream, and if you believe it, you will be deceiving yourself. It's the gospel that matters in regards to justification. When we're talking about being reconciled back to God, the law can't reconcile the sinner back to God. The law draws a line in the sand and says it can never be crossed. But the gospel is a whole other word. The gospel saves apart from the law. Well, that's not exactly true. The gospel saves apart from anything that you do according to the law. But it does save in regard to what Christ did according to the law. For it is Christ who came and did through the law what us ungodly, sinful enemies could never do, and then defying anything that could ever be considered lawful, Christ attributed his fulfillment of the law to you. And in exchange for it, he took your sin. Jesus Christ, the perfect godly one, made himself to be sin, made himself to be the enemy of God because he was your sin. Why else would he cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cries out those words because at that moment, he was the enemy of God. At that moment, with nails nailed, thorns shredding, spear piercing, his blood justified you. And I know, yes, sitting here in this fallen world, simultaneously still saint and sinners, it's difficult. And yes, I know that our sinful flesh is still an ungodly mess. But you have been justified. And because of that, you are no longer an enemy of God. That's why we rejoice. Paul tells us to. In God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Because while we were still sinful, ungodly enemies of God, Christ died for us and made us to be the exact opposite. Thanks be to God. And one other thing. What if you're still worried? What if you're still worried about the wrath of God? What if you still have a ball of knots in your stomach when you picture the last and final day and Jesus' return? What if you can't shake the devil out of your ears and you can't stop listening to him when he says that you aren't worthy of the gospel, not worthy of the cross, not worthy to be at peace with God? What if you can't help but doubt it sometimes, can't help but look at your sinfulness and fear God, can't help but feel the shame that weighs heavy upon you, can't help but be terrified that someday you're going to draw your last breath? Someday you're going to die and you're going to have to meet your Maker. Well, Paul has another gospel-y word for you. If Christ has already done the hard an impossible task of reconciling you back to God because he has justified you by his blood. If he's already died for you when you were a weak, ungodly, sinful enemy of God, then how much more will he then do the easier task of saving you from the wrath? If you are reconciled by the death of God's Son, much more, now that you have been reconciled, shall you be saved by his life. Because Jesus lives, you live too. My brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice and sing, for Jesus is living. Rejoice, cry out, for he is alive. Our Sabbath rest has burst from the tomb. He's risen, and we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, amen.